Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Zetro, it's JJ from WXLV.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Not too bad at all, you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Just a little cold. We're in fucking Worcester.
Well, yeah. That's winter for you
in the
North.
We're California, bro. So, you know, when we get and see snow, we all freak out. You know what I mean?
I imagine. You know, I think you guys have the right idea living out there, because you avoid a lot of that, but whatever.
Oh, we do. We avoid it. It don't even rain in California anymore. But, you know what I mean? So, it's like, it's good. It's killer.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thanks for being accommodating. We've had so many different factors thrown in here, and I'm just glad we got you on the phone.
Know.
Yeah. But
yeah, because it's just we're on tour, and it's tough to get times that'll jive with each other. You know what I mean? So a bus broke down a couple of times. So you know, it's like you know, typical tour stuff. Nothing out of the ordinary.
And you guys have been doing it for quite a while, so you know what's up and how to deal with it.
Oh, exactly. I know exactly. I mean, we're 30 years into this, so we all know what to do. We all know what to do on tour.
Absolutely. Well, all right, one thing I can say that the benefit of talking to you after seeing the show, because we saw you guys in Bethlehem just on Wednesday night.
Right.
You guys tore the roof off with Suicidal Tendencies and Slayer. It was a pleasure to see you guys.
Thanks. Thanks for coming to the show. It was great. We had a good time the other night. Bethlehem was a blast. Hell yeah. So, yeah, it was great. Everywhere so far has been great on the tour. You know, if it's not sold out, it's close to being sold out. So it was really, really cool.
Well, I think there's the lineup is outstanding, first of all. But more specifically with you guys, you know, Blood In, Blood Out was your highest charting album yet, and I think there's a lot of excitement, not only about the album itself being as good as it is, but you being back in the band. So, that's...
Yeah, definitely. I could feel the buzz. I feel the fans are coming to the shows, and I'm very accessible when it comes to that. So, they're, yeah, glad to have you back, and I love that warm reception. It's great, you know, because it has been 10 years since I've sang with the band, and I'm having a great time. And I can just say this, nobody will ever hold that mic for Exodus again but me. I'm having a blast. This is the best time out of all three times, the initial time and then two. I call it the dark years, 2002 to 2004. I wasn't really into being there at that time. It was more like I had to be there for the sake of the band, so I wasn't really mentally into it. Now I'm completely 100% doing Exodus and Hatriot, my other band with my other son, so I am totally into it.
Totally, and it really comes through, not only just on album, but live. So, you've been keeping busy over the years with Hatriot and other projects, and your voice has been in game shape for a while now. But
I think that's how I got the gig back. When I got the call, it was like, I was ready, you know what I mean? It was like I only had, I think, about 8 hours to learn the songs before they wanted me to record them and see if, you know, I still had what they wanted, you know? So I was like a fucking college student cramming for a test, man, you know, trying to get them down and then make them like my own, you know? So that came out, you know, no problem. And then from there on, we went and did the record, and the record I'm so happy with it. Everything that's come out on the record, it's great. It's my favorite Exodus. It's my favorite Exodus album. It's awesome, and I just was glad that the guys, you know, wanted me back, and you know, they actually, you know, went forth and, you know, having, because our split up was not the greatest, you know what I mean? And I'm sure you know that if you can.
Sure.
Read any of the press the last 10 years, we were not the friendliest to each other.
Right.
You know, so to see something like this go down, you know what I mean? It really shows that, you know, the band has matured. I've matured and changed as a person. We've all gone forward, and it was kind of like, hey, can we go fucking do this now? Let's just go do this, you know? So that's basically where we're at. And so we're having a blast. Everybody's getting along. It's really, really different and a better atmosphere.
Yeah, and that's part of growing up, too, because now you guys are all better at what you do instrumentally, vocally, and if you've got that good attitude, that really translates, so...
I agree, and that's it. I mean, you know, I've always thought that I've always sung really well, but my attitude wasn't the greatest. I fixed all that and changed that. I'm pleasant to be around. I know, because I knew how I was. Before, it takes a person to look at themselves first and go, how can you change yourself? How can you make it better for everyone else around you? Start with yourself and then work your way around. And that's basically what I did, you know. And so I'm much more pleasant to be around. Mm-hmm. I'm in a good mood every day. I'm ready to rock, you know. When you saw the show the other night, I'm fucking only six songs. I'm like a fucking roadrunner all revved up going down the road, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. All killer, no filler. But
That's right. Yes, sir.
Excellent. So, of course, one of the really exciting things about Blood In, Blood Out is that it's consistently fast, pretty consistently fast. Now, for a band that's been
consistently fast.
Yeah, yeah. Now, for a band that's been around as long as you guys have, where does that come from?
You know, I wasn't really in the band during the writing process. In fact, the only song lyrically I wrote, and I wrote it along with Lee and Jack, was Body Harvest.
Sure.
Gary and Lee pretty much wrote everything. And even when before I went to listen and record, they were like, "This stuff is really fast." They're telling me how fast it would be, deranged, you know,
mm-hmm.
Last Act of Defiance. But every fucking song, it seems like the only two, it's like Numb or BTK,
yeah,
and My Last Nerve are really the only ones that don't have, you know, a speed track to them. You know, everything else is bam, 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 and then a chugging in your face.
Absolutely. Now, I think I heard, though, obviously Gary and Lee did most of the writing, but did Gary allow for more collaboration this time than in the past? Because I think I've read somewhere that maybe he was open to other people's suggestions. I know you weren't there for a lot of it, but from what you know.
I had to do a concert in March, and it was called Rob Flynn and Friends, and it was in Oakland. And I have my own ACDC tribute band. And so they asked if my tribute band wanted to play. That was the first time I'd seen Gary in a while. And he's like, you know, he played the show. And I said, "How you doing?" He's all good. He's all, "I know what you're doing." I'm fucking writing the new Exodus record right now. He goes, "Dude, I'm even sleeping at night. I'm just writing. It's crushingly heavy." I'm all, "Really?" He's all, "Yeah." This was like back in March. So from what I understood, he took January, February, March, and a little bit of April to put it together. He had the riffs. He just had to put it together. And so by then, you know, they started recording the record. And then I came in just right after June. I started recording the record around June 9th. I think the whole world knew that I was singing for Exodus on June 6th. By June 9th, I was already in the studio, you know, screaming my brains out.
Yeah, you were able to just go for it and not overthink it. I guess that's one benefit of not having that much time.
Well, I don't think I overthink anything. You know what I mean? I think that I've been in Exodus for so long, you know, in and out. But I know what they want. I know what Gary wants. I've never been in the studio and done a vocal for Exodus when Gary wasn't present. This time, it was Jack engineering the record, and Gary was on tour with Slayer in Europe. So we just emailed him the songs, and there were very few fixes that I did. Very, very, very few fixes. It was, you know, like, "Hey, Metro, change this word here. Do this a little bit more like that." It was basically, there was never a case where I went in there and they were like, "Dude, you got to sing this whole song over again. You completely screwed it up." You know what I mean? So it wasn't the case. I feel, you know, the songs, and I felt the music when I heard it. So that created for a great atmosphere when that came down.
Sure, and having Jack engineering the album and recording a lot of it at Tom's Goat Ranch, you could say a lot of the album was kept in-house, the creation anyway. What kind of impact do you think?
Correct.
Yeah, what kind of impact do you think that had on the process of making it?
It definitely kept it confidential, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So unless you were out there and saw what we were up to, you didn't know what we were up to. I mean, this album didn't leak, you know, it didn't leak.
Right.
Usually an album this magnitude leaks a little bit. We had all full control over it, so it didn't leak. So we were very fortunate that that didn't happen. A band this magnitude, somebody always gets a hold of the master, and a week, 2 days before the thing's supposed to come out, boom, everybody else has it. So we were very fortunate in that respect.
Absolutely. Now, as far as collaborations, you guys really pulled out all the stops to make this 10th album really special, not just writing really fast, really awesome songs, but having guest spots from Kirk and Chuck and Dan, the Automator. Yeah, with the first couple guests I mentioned, was some of the thought process in celebrating the album, giving a nod to where the band has come from, while also looking to the future and trying some new things?
I think that was the whole idea. I mean, well, here we are on our 10th album. I mean, how many bands are lucky enough to say that they're on their 10th record, they're still relevant? You know what I mean? Bands will put out records forever, you know, and then the real true hardcore fans buy them, but not outside the box. And we were very loud. I mean, obviously, charting in the top 40, you know, people bought records, our album, outside of the box.
Sure.
You know? So, and that's what shows us that we are still growing, and there's still people that are you know, are learning Exodus's music. Because I see it in the crowd every night. I mean, you know, there's people that are in their 20s, you know, and you know, this stuff all started in the mid to early 80s, you know, and the initial period of the bands came out probably, you know, by 1992, you knew who everybody was, you know what I mean? So in that initial period, I mean, we're very fortunate that we still have fans that are coming around and you know, very interested and still coming to our shows and still getting in the pit and still going crazy for us. We really appreciate that.
Absolutely, and as you said, anyone can really put out 10 albums, but to have the 10th sure. the 10th album be as good as this one is, I mean, you're getting better at it as opposed to just going through the motions, and that really translates, and people really pay attention to that stuff.
I think they do, and we knew when the record was done, I knew, I was like, man, this record is gonna be special. This record is gonna be special. I could just tell by, you know, the songs, the way people were, you know, My Return after 10 years, Kirk playing a lead on it after the longest time, Chuck coming in and putting his vocals, Dan doing such an amazing intro that really, really fit to the song. And so I just think all of those elements together made for a really strong record. I've got guys like yourself, Tuff, that are everywhere just boring the album to me. And that makes us feel great. I mean, we're like, wow. And Tom and I have talked about this many times, especially on this tour. How great is it that we're 10 records into our career, 30 fucking years. Next year will be 30 years since Bonded by Blood. And we're still relevant. They're still in there. When we sing Bonded by Blood every night, they're still yelling Bonded by Blood. When we do Toxic Waltz, they're still in the pit. When we do Strike of the Beast, they're going fucking nuts, you know. And so, like I said, we're very, very, very fortunate to have that on our side. We really are.
Definitely. Now, as far as the song that you had a hand writing, Body Harvest, with Jack and Lee, was that something that came together quickly with you guys? You started starting.
Really?
Real quick.
So Rob had originally penned the lyrics to that song, and they didn't want to use his lyrics. So we were in the studio one day doing a vocal for another song, and I'm going to bring Body Harvest. I'm going to go, what? I'm going to bring this. We're going to write it right now. We're going to write the song. How do you want to write it, Jack? And Jack had a good idea what to do with the song. And so within 45 minutes, we had written the lyrics, and I was already in. Within an hour and a half, I was recording it.
Okay, wow.
And what you see is what you get. So that song was like, you know, 2 hours before we recorded that song had no lyrics. And then we totally penned it, and it came out killer, and had a good kind of brutal storyline to it. So it worked out really well, and we dug it. And so a lot of people tell me, I mean, like, I have a publicist that works for me, he does Hatred, and he's like, man, dude, Body Harvest is my favorite song, you know, so... I guess if you don't think about it too much, sometimes it turns out.
Totally. You let your instincts take over.
Exactly. Those thrash metal instincts that have been in me for 30 years, you know what I mean? Or better than.
Absolutely. Now, there were one or two B-sides, but the one I'm curious about, Angel of Death, where you let Tom handle vocals. Was that
Correct.
Something he's wanted to do for a while, or was that just... Where'd that come from?
Tom's a great singer in the first part. I mean, Tom will get on and sing you any hit song from the 60s, 70s, 80s. I swear to God, he's like a fucking jukebox, you know? And he's really knows how to sing really well, and the vocals play a lot high. And actually, him and Kevin Hayborn have some history. The first time in 89 when Tom had left the band, he actually started working with Angel Witch and was playing drums with Angel Witch. So it was kind of fitting that he went in and did the vocal for that. And it worked out killer. And if you listen to it, he does a hell of a job.
Yeah, I mean, I think your job's pretty secure, but he should totally explore that a little bit with some side stuff when the band takes a little bit of a break. Who knows?
Yeah, he's a good singer. Definitely a good singer. Definitely. But he won't want to sing metal. He likes to sing, like, he loves Bruno Mars. He loves stuff like, he loves stuff that he can sing.
Oh, man. Know? Okay.
He tells me all the time, I could never do what you do every night. I could do it one night, but stop, you know?
Right.
So.
Cool.
Well, it's a good balance of us.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, you guys had your, from what I saw, I think on a press release, you guys had your own burger at a listening party in Chicago.
Yeah, they held it there for a month in a burger joint in Chicago. Yeah.
What did that involve?
Blood in, blood out burger. It had a bunch of peppers and shit all over it. It was a totally spicy burger.
So that might be a literal name for it, like blood in, blood out. Wow. Okay.
It was a great burger. It was like this big burger that had cheese and bacon and all like these jalapenos and peppers on it. It was hella cool. I was like, do we get to go to Chicago and have our burger? That's kind of cool.
Cool. All right, so now I heard some rumors, maybe they're true, maybe not, about some filming being done on this tour. If there's any truth to it, any details about what that would be going toward?
I think we're just filming for, like, every album. You know, it's still fitting to put a record and then a DVD like we did with this album as well in the Digipack. And I think we're getting ahead of that right now. We're going to show some stuff on tour. We're going to show some stuff backstage and that kind of thing. So it's always good to have that footage.
Yeah, and people appreciate that. That's just more incentive for people to buy a deluxe edition or to, if it's going to be released as a standalone DVD, that's cool to have on its own.
Well, I think it's just great because the fans get to see what we're like and get inside the band. And I think that bands in the last 10, 15 years have started to do that, you know, let you in on what you never got to know before, you know. So I think that's kind of a cool thing.
Sure, absolutely. And it lets people know you're human, and that definitely translates
sure.
And means a lot. So, cool.
Definitely.
Now, Gary's going to have a lot of Slayer obligations next year. That frees you up to focus on Hatriot, as you've mentioned, the other band that you're doing.
Right.
Is the rest of the band working on music as we speak while you're out on the road?
I have 4 songs with me I'm supposed to be writing lyrics to, and I've been very lazy about that right now. But yeah, we're writing songs right now so we can have yet another release in 2015.
Excellent. Well, I've only got a couple more questions. I'll let you get back to writing Hatriot lyrics.
Very nice.
But another perk of being able to talk to you is your love and appreciation of horror movies. Now you've
love
got
of horror movies.
Well, that's good, because you've gone on record as saying that you enjoy The Exorcist. Maybe it's your favorite, but are there any other obscure ones out there that people should keep an eye out for?
I'm not too obscure. I'm classic. I'm tattooed in classic horror. So it's like The Bride, Frankenstein, Dracula, The Wolfman, The Invisible Man, The Creature. Those are all very shockingly scary movies to me. Although I felt that The Conjuring was a great movie and Annabelle was as well. So they're starting to come up with stuff that they seem to take the camera and make the camera try to scare you by quick things happening, you know what I mean? I'm not really into that. I want to see monsters. I want to see your Freddy Krueger. I want to see your face. I want to see the evilness. Where did it come from? Where's the genesis of your monster? You know what I mean? And that's what I love. So I'm definitely in on all that kind of stuff. I'll go to the store and buy a DVD for $5 that has 20 of the greatest splatter flicks in the world. You know what I mean? And 10 of them will suck. But, you know, 10 of them are, wow, look at this one, what's this called, you know? So I do that kind of stuff. But I'm on the road, so I buy horror and watch horror.
Absolutely, and even if a horror movie isn't the best, you know, you can sometimes get some enjoyment out of it, too, so.
Oh, yeah, we had this one, I bought 20 of the greatest zombie flicks ever, and we were on the bus watching this one from Italy, and it was just the worst. And we were having the greatest time ripping on it. Then, I mean, we're laughing our asses off. So, yes, even the terrible ones are entertaining.
Nice. All right. So are there any newer bands out there that get the Exodus stamp of approval?
All of the good ones, man. Havoc is a great band, obviously. We love Cattle Decapitation. We love The Faceless. We love Municipal Waste. They're great friends of ours. So there are Warbringer. There are good new thrash bands that are coming out that, you know, we appreciate and we love. And we're glad that they're still doing it, you know?
Absolutely. The genre is alive and well. Thanks to you guys.
It is alive and well. It is alive and well. And I think all the bands that initially did it are definitely holding their own. I mean, who's put out a shitty record from the initial bands in the last few years? No one. Overkill put out an amazing record this year. Anthrax's last record, Worship Music, was amazing. The last two Testament records were great. So noted Death Angels album, The Dream Calls for Blood. Great fucking record. So Dance Creator. I mean, they're still doing shit. You can go down the list of the bands that are still, you know, putting out great music. Megadeth, even Slayer, you know? So it's all the bands that are still relevant are relevant because they're still putting out good music.
Definitely. Now, after this tour, do you guys have any plans that can be announced? You probably want to have some time at home for the holidays, but...
Actually, we're home for the holidays, and then we leave January 18th for the Soundwave Festival in Australia.
Nice.
Got added on to that. So that will be, I think, 2 or 4 weeks, and then we're coming back home, and there's something going on in the States. I can't talk about it, but it's going to be a great package from what's happening right now. So that's going on. And we're on every festival this summer in Europe. So we're going to be very, very, very busy this next coming year.
Well, that's good because, you know, 35 minutes is nice, but that just feels like an appetizer.
I know. It was a fucking tease. Believe me, by the fifth song, I'm just warmed up and it's already time to go, you know? So I got it. It's cool. Believe me. We got to headline the other night on Monday. We played a headlining show, a one-off, because Slayer and Suicidal wasn't working. We went to Richmond, Virginia, and we went to Springfield, Virginia. We played Empire, Jax. It used to be Jax, and we had nine, so we played 16 songs that night. It felt like a real set, you know?
Totally. Well, I think everyone here on Eastern Pennsylvania will be waiting with bated breath for you guys to do a headlining around here, and yeah.
Definitely going to come out and do one.
Excellent, excellent. Well, this is how I end every interview, and it's going to put you on the spot, but you're stuck on a desert island, one album rest of your life. What is it?
Stuck on a desert island, one album the rest of your life, yeah. And what album would it be? God damn, that's a fucked up question.
It is.
Wow.
It is.
That is like the hardest question ever. Okay, if I had to have it, Black Sabbath, We Sold Our Souls for Rock and Roll, because it's kind of like a greatest hits album. It was a double record with everything on it, so I'd have to say that.
That's a smart choice. You can't go wrong with Sabbath, and you get quality and quantity there. So.
Yes, exactly.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being on Decent Exposure Radio. Thank you for putting out such an awesome album and playing just the other day, and safe travels.
Thank you, my friend. We'll see you soon when we're back on your part of the world.
Excellent. Well, thanks a lot. Have fun.
Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you soon.
Yep.
Thanks.
See you.